The next 24 hours were misery. Rodney had no idea how much he'd come to not appreciate or enjoy. Expect, that was it. How much he had come to expect the transmissions until they ceased. Okay, so he was a sucker for order, but he totally wasn't cranky enough to make the cat avoid him over something as minor as an interrupted routine. Did it even count as a routine if he subscribed to it for less than a week? He wasn't worried, not with three whole teams out there, searching, oh, a few million hectares of forest. That figured out to roughly 714,000 hectares per searcher, and left Rodney imagining what it would be like to not exist in a constant state of anxiety, because his brain compulsively converted every scenario into grim statistics. A piece of accurate but tardy advice arrived from Zelenka. Only idiots require luck, so I wish you plenty of it. R. Optimism was foreign to Rodney, so it took real effort to convince himself by supper that Shepherd had been rescued. By the time he was stripping for bed, he reverted to form and concluded that Shepherd had been eaten by a bear. Darkness shrank from his bedroom, causing the claustrophobia to prickle his nerves, so it was going to be one of those nights. He lay on his back, willing the ceiling to move further away, and that's when it blindsided him. This mystery was going to haunt him for the rest of his life. The morning heralded acceptance. Rodney scribbled a checklist of all the conversions he would need to unconvert in order to bring the telescope back online. It made a decent eulogy. As if summoned, Shepard's voice cracked out of the console speakers, like a call from beyond the grave.
If you're still out there eavesdropping, I'm ready to talk now.
Luckily, Rodney's lap was empty. He shot to his feet with such force that any of the items it usually held—boulder chips, laptop, cat—would have been ejected to the floor.
Hello? Anyone?
Rodney rushed to the console and slapped until he found the button that activated the microphone. Hello, yes, I'm here. Don't hang up.
Wow.
Shepherd managed, after a considerable pause. It was possible he was as stunned to hear Rodney as Rodney was to hear him.
I won't.
So,
maybe I should.
You first. This is your channel, after all. His chair was across the room, but Rodney wasn't going to leave the microphone to retrieve it. He stretched as far as he could, kicking backwards, and somehow managed to snag the thing with his foot and drag it over. Shepherd mumbled something to himself, then raising his voice again.
You're a civilian, aren't you?
Rodney hesitated. Yes.
You picked up my signal?
Yes.
And you can respond?
Obviously. Flew out with more sting than it should have. Rodney softened it with, I mean, it's not that simple.
How long have you been listening?
Hey, is this an interrogation, or do I get to ask some questions of my own? Because really, the last thing Rodney wanted was to admit that Shepherd had serenaded him with Neil Diamond at 4 a.m.
Fair enough,
Shepherd conceded. I heard enough to know that you're stranded. Can you tell me what happened?
No.
Alrighty then. Is there anything I can do to help?
No.
Was marginally less firm. Want to tell me how to contact someone who can? The pause was encouraging, then...
No.
So why are you talking to me at all?
Guess I just needed to hear a friendly voice.
Oh. The fact that that was flattering indicated Rodney need to get out of the house more often. Well, I don't know if I qualify since you're American, right? The silence followed suggested Rodney was strained too close to information Shepherd preferred he not have. Your accent gave you away.
I have an accent?
It's rather, he demonstrated with his hands, not Canadian.
Canada, huh. Are we at war with you guys? I can never remember.
The truce lasts until hockey season. That earned a shot of roaring laughter.
Funny. Well, it was nice talking to you, but I think I'm going to sign off here for a while. I probably shouldn't.
Panic seized Rodney around the throat. Are you dying?
What? No.
Good, good. What a relief. Because it would haunt me for the rest of my life if I never got to learn more about you.
See, that's exactly why I shouldn't be talking to you.
Excuse me, you were the one who initiated this conversation, remember? Nothing. Hello? Shepherd? Hello?
You're supposed to say, do you copy?
You're still there.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Shepherd cleared his throat.
What made you think I was dying?
That's always what happens in the movies, Rodney explained. Two guys will be talking on the phone, and one of them doesn't want his partner, their cops or something, to know he's been fatally injured. But he's afraid to die alone, so he pretends he's okay. Instead of using the last of his strength to tell his partner where the bad guys hid the bomb, or apologize for taking the last chocolate donut that morning, or say goodbye, he wastes his last breath on inconsequential crap while he slowly bleeds to death. Somehow, Shepard's silence managed to convey astonishment. Way to go, Rodney. Tell a depressing story to a man who'd been stuck out in the woods for a week. Sorry, I'm a natural pessimist. I don't do reassurance well.
I hadn't noticed. Look, I'm fine. I really am. I'm not just saying that to you.
Are you sure?
I'm not injured. I've got enough food and water to last me a while, and my guys are out there right now looking for me.
The last bit was Shepherd trying to convince himself, Rodney was sure.
Rescue is going to take a little longer than expected, and I'm all settled in with nothing left to do.
Stir crazy, Rodney sympathized. I'm not good at waiting either. Once I missed a connection flight and was stuck at the airport for 5 hours, it almost drove me nuts.
5 whole hours. What a hardship.
Shepherd intoned. It was. Their wireless internet was down. That earned a snort. We can't all have exciting stories about crash landing in the wilderness. Rodney knew that was a mistake as soon as it left his mouth. It had taken a lot of practice to get the tinfoil hat crowd to open up and talk to him, and Shepherd's secrets seemed to be just as jealously guarded. He needed to ease up on the information that had his curiosity salivating. Win a little trust here, give a little something back there, not blunder in with a Sioux that had the grace and subtlety of a brick to the head.
I'm going to sign off now.
Shepard informed brusquely.
This is probably wasting more power than I can afford.
Wait, can I talk to you again sometime? The request must have sounded awkward, even to Shepard, who took his time replying.
I'll think about it and let you know.
Don't you want to know my name before you go? Rodney was grasping and knew it. Shepard's transmission ended with a hesitant.
Save a few surprises for next time.
Message received. Apology accepted. Next time proved to be sooner rather than later. Not that Rodney had been puttering around the control room with one eye on the clock, because, okay, that was exactly what he'd been doing.
So, what is your name?
Shepard cracked, abruptly enough to make Rodney jump. He approached the console and keyed the mic. Don't scare me like that! Came out girlishly high, so he cleared his throat and tried again. It's Rodney. Rodney McKay.
Scare you?
More like startle.
Uh-huh.
Rodney settled into a chair to explain. You broke your hour rule, which was sort of flattering. You're always so punctual that I wasn't expecting to hear from you for another 12 minutes at the earliest.
I'll be sure to make an appointment in the future.
That won't be necessary, Rodney assured, ignoring the sarcasm. Do I just keep calling you Shepard?
Why not?
Don't take this personally, but as code names go, it's kind of dumb. Shepard's drawl didn't quite mask an undercurrent of amusement.
I don't know how else I can take that, but personally.
It doesn't fit, Rodney grumbled. Shepard Mountain, shouldn't you be calling the farm or the barn or Lobo Beep or something?
That's S. H. E. P. P. A. R. D. It's my name.
Oh, was all Rodney could think to say. And was he ever grateful Shepard wasn't in the room with him to see his mouth work soundlessly in the way his sister always told him had made him resemble an asphyxiating fish.
Yeah, you really thought?
Forget it, Rodney groaned, cutting him off.
Just curious, would it kill you to humor me? I'm kind of desperate for entertainment here.
Then you weren't calling me to let me know you'd been rescued.
No, Rodney. I'm still here.
Dropped off to a sigh. Rodney couldn't be uncharitable to a guy alone in the woods, who probably had a better chance of being eaten by a bear than being rescued. Are you sure you don't want me to launch some kind of search on my end? Call someone? The Mounties, maybe? It's been, you know, a while.
My guys are out there.
Shepard was firm.
Just gotta give them time. How close am I to Janu?
Alaska? You don't know?
Let's pretend for a minute that I was a little off course when I crashed.
Well, Rodney keyed up the logs. Your signal strength has remained, shockingly consistent. The problem is, I've never seen anything like it before.
not a lot of people have.
I'm not a lot of people.
Oh, so you're some kind of communications expert.
As a matter of fact, yes.
Well, the reason you haven't encountered it before is it's new.
Shepard must have sensed that a bullshit answer was safer than trying to explain a concept he didn't understand to someone who could nail him for his mistakes. Rodney decided to nail him anyway. I think the word you're grasping for is obsolete. The technology was contemporary to the 8-track and the Laserdisc. I've just never seen it used in this fashion before.
I guess you're not as expert as you thought you were.
Shepard managed to be awfully smug for a guy who was stuck in the woods and who was also wrong. Fine. You want to know where you are? I'll pin it down to a few thousand square kilometers. Rodney pushed away from the console, snapping his fingers. Yes, this could work. I know the direction of your signal to within 2 degrees, and I know the speed of the waves of this frequency travel. If I could just get a response ping of your system...
Well, that's not going to happen, because I don't know how to do that. All I know about the radio is that I talk, and people can hear me on the other end.
That's a shame. Are you sure that you don't? Because even bush pilots should have at least a basic mechanical understanding of their planes, in case they need to repair something in an emergency.
I'm not a bush pilot. And this, sure as hell, isn't a puddle jumper.
The comparison must have been wildly inappropriate because it earned a gruff laugh. But you're a pilot.
Yes, I'm a pilot, for those keeping score at home. Rodney has just confirmed another useless fact about John Shepard.
Why, yes. Yes, he had. First name, John. Have you ever flown a Cessna?
There's lots of different kinds of Cessna. That's like asking someone if they've ever driven a Chevy.
Well, have you?
Yes and yes.
Do you think you could unclog a fuel line?
Probably.
There you go.
I couldn't figure out how to ping a what's-it from a Cessna radio either.
Easy. I could walk you through that without even pulling up the technical specs. So, what else have you flown?
Choppers.
And?
I went up in a glider once.
What else?
Rodney.
What happened to your co-pilot? Oh God, did he die in the crash? You didn't eat him, did you?
I didn't have a co-pilot.
Huh, that's odd.
No kidding.
Was wry to the point of suspicion. What?
Nothing. Don't you have to go to work or something?
Nope. I'm retired.
Retired? How old are you?
36.
Isn't that a bit young to...
Whatever you're going to say, I've heard it before. I put in 10 years at a multinational telecom. It was ridiculous how much they paid me. Even I didn't think I was worth that much. Then, after I quit, I did a 6-month contract on a job that paid me enough to be able to buy this place outright. Shepard scoffed.
Must be nice.
The house? Not really. It's a cylinder block on top of a hill. The nearest town has a population of 5,000. My neighbors gave me a shotgun as a housewarming present. And it snows 360 days out of the year. Okay, so one of those statements was a slight exaggeration.
Sounds charming.
Try quaint. Honestly, I couldn't live out here without my satellite internet hookup. Thank God for Amazon and UPS. For the holidays, my sister thinks it's funny to send me gift certificates for restaurants I would have to drive for 4 hours to reach. When I visit, I end up using them to take her family out to dinner.
So, why live there?
I did mention I have a rather large dish, didn't I? There was a little choking sound Shepherd made was ample reward for the effort of working that one into the conversation.
Did you say dish?
That just never got old. I live in an old cable television relay station, Rodney clarified. The enormous satellite dish on my roof is used to pick up feeds from the orbiting network satellites. Those little digital dishes killed the market for cable TV up here. There wasn't much of a market to begin with, and the station went under, so that's how I got it so cheap. Plus, the place is a real dump. It was empty for a couple of years before I bought it.
So, what? You use your big dish to pick up on television signals?
And wasn't that boggling? Shepherd mimicked the phrase with a cheerful filthiness Rodney had never achieved, for all his practice. Show off. He was just miffed. Rodney knew way more about his fancy radio than he did. Therefore, Rodney was perfectly innocently justified in answering every porn channel on this hemisphere.
Seriously?
Of course not. I converted it to a radio telescope.
This is the part where I pretend to know what that entails, so you don't offer to explain it to me.
I thought you were desperate for entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment being the key word. If you're going to start spewing technobabble, I could just find something more exciting to do. Like take a nap.
Rodney huffed. Excuse me for selecting the wrong conversational topics. If I'd known you could only tolerate macho crab, I would have brushed up on Walker, Texas Ranger, so I could hold an informed discourse on
Rodney.
The merits of the classic roundhouse kick versus
McKay.
Yes? Rodney snapped. Go ahead, add interruption to insult.
It was a joke.
Shepherd soothed, unruffled.
Honestly, I don't give a shit what you talk about. You could read the user manual for a Commodore 64, and I'd be thrilled just to have a friendly voice to listen to.
Oh. Damn it. Shepherd needed to stop doing that to him. And by that, Rodney wasn't sure if he meant the thing where Shepherd dropped an offhand comment that derailed Rodney entirely, or the thing where Shepherd dropped an offhand comment that derailed Rodney and also made his mouth tug into a grudging smile. It had to have been deliberate, except that it couldn't possibly have been. Since you mention it, I might actually have one of those lying around.
I appreciate the sentiment, truly, but I think I heard something and I need to go check it out. Then I do want to take that nap. I've been trying to catch some sleep during the day. At night, the cold kind of keeps me awake.
Shepherd admitted. Right. Night. Cold, lonely, awful. That's good, because I need to run a few errands. No, not good. Convenient. You should rest while it's warmer, and I'll do my stuff, and then tonight... Rodney swallowed, hoping the offer would be considered more generous than pathetic. I live alone, so it doesn't matter when I sleep. Since you're going to be up all night, I could, you know. Shepherd put him out of his misery, sounding genuinely touched.
Thanks, that'd be...
Then Rodney's brain caught up with his ears. Wait, did you say you heard something?
In the underbrush, a few hundred yards away. What kind of wildlife you got up here?
All kinds, especially the kinds with bad attitudes and big teeth. I mean, I thought the shotgun was some kind of initiate the outsider joke, and so they started to tell me about.
It's slow and noisy. That narrow it down any?
A bear, Rodney breathed, and he was Googling survive a bear attack before he realized his hands were on the keyboard. Okay, if you want to live, do exactly as I say. First, don't draw any attention to yourself with noise or sudden movement.
I'm not afraid of a bear.
Shepherd, God rest his soul, was definitely not taking Rodney's advice. In fact, if first-person shooters had taught Rodney anything, that background hiss-click was the sound of a weapon-click being seated. Fine, get eaten.
I am armed. Also, I think I'm hungrier than whatever's out there. If anything, it's going on the menu, not me.
You're actually going to check it out, aren't you? Rodney moaned. He'd just encountered a photo on a bear attack site that he fervently wished he could purge from his brain.
Yep. Rescue should be a little more vocal, but I'm not exactly, visible where I am, so I have to go out there just in case it's the cavalry.
Visible, Rodney challenged.
Difficult to explain.
You could try shouting.
And draw attention to myself if it's a bear?
That's when it hit him. Despite having logic and common sense and Googled facts on his side, Rodney was going to lose this argument. John Shepherd was clearly insane. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Duly noted. Rendezvous on this channel at 2000 hours. That means, go run your errands and I'll call you around 8.
Yes, I know what that means.
Great. Shepherd out.
Wait, John, do you think you could, you know, contact me sooner just to let me know you weren't rescued or eaten? Because that sort of apprehension would be nothing short of torture. It was too late, though. The connection was dead. What time was it in Prague? After losing the last round to Shepherd, Rodney needed something to lift his spirits. Or at the very least, provide a distraction until 8 o'clock. An epic round of gloating would have satisfied both requirements, yet for some reason he found himself reluctant to make the call. Shepherd was his secret, the culmination of Rodney's ideas, Rodney's hard work on the project that Zelenka had scoffed at, damn it. Plus, there was the potential danger to consider. Rodney always made an effort to secure his digital communications. But if the government wanted to listen in badly enough, they would find a way. In the end, he settled for a nice, cryptic email. O ye of little faith. P.S. I think I made a new friend. P.P.S. You owe me at least a partial pay-up on that bet. R. Then he grabbed his wallet and keys, jumped into his station wagon, and started winding down his driveway. A kilometer and a mild case of vertigo later, he reached his mailbox and the main road. Of course, there was nothing in the mailbox. despite that he hadn't been down to check it in several days. He did all of his banking online, and he wasn't expecting any packages. Hell, he sometimes went weeks between pieces of junk mail, and even those tended to look worn, like they'd been passed around the post office a couple of times before being dropped into his box. Hey, it was a small town, and he couldn't fault an incredibly bored postal worker for checking out the current prices on amateur astronomy equipment. Rodney was probably the only person in town who got interesting catalogs. Shit that wasn't L.L. Bean. Okay, so he got those two. The fact that they were addressed to Ben Kenobi might have been due to Rodney's insistence that his name not be associated with anything containing that much plaid. He wasn't hurrying. Really, he wasn't. It just happened that his favorite parking spot was available when he hit town, so his base of operations was a nice central location, with his targets splayed out around him like points on a star. He started at the library, a copy of War and Peace, and worked his way clockwise to the cafe, a pound of fresh roasted Costa Rican, and the grocery store, cat food, and genius food. In hindsight, the library should have been his last stop, because that damn book was heavier than all his other purchases combined. He wasn't hurrying, but he located everything he wanted with ease, and there weren't lines at the checkout. And he barely wasted an hour by the time he was dumping his haul into the back of the car. 8 o'clock had never seemed so far away, nor could Rodney easily recall the last time he'd been so anxious to hear from someone. It occurred to him that maybe he should take a nap, like Shepard, if he wanted to stay awake through the night. Except, oh, right, coffee. So with several hours to blow and a mystery to solve, Rodney did what any good scientist would do. He launched an investigation. When he left town, he turned in the direction leading away from his house, and within half an hour was crunching into the gravel parking lot of something that claimed to be an airport, but looked a lot more like a big, flat field with a cluster of sheds at one end. Steve must have recognized Rodney's car, because he was ambling out of the tower before Rodney had his seatbelt off. "Dr. McKay!" he grinned in that predatory way that was good for Rodney's ego, but was as subtle as a slap on the ass. Rodney didn't give him the opportunity. He climbed out of the wagon and sidled sideways until he could swing the door closed, keeping his ass safely pressed to the vehicle. "Hello, Steve." "You should have called ahead. I got a supply run this afternoon. I take you as my co-pilot, but I'm skimming the weight limit as it is. And, you know, regulations." He shrugged his brawny shoulders, failing to recognize the opportunity for innuendo. Thank God for small favors. Rodney waved both his hands defensively. "No, I'm not here to take you up on your offer to take me up in your flying death trap." "Aw, you're not?" The flying death trap comments had ceased to elicit outrage after Rodney had pointed out that part of the Cessna's rudder was reinforced with duct tape. "Sorry," Rodney lied. "I'm here on official business." Pretty much everyone knew about the aliens, after Rodney had made the mistake of telling, like, one person. Stupid small-town gossip network. "Oh," Steve winked knowingly. "How can I help?" Rodney let him lead them into the tower, which was only called that out of deference to tradition, not because its height exceeded the breadth or depth of its base. "Do you have anything resembling a functioning radar here?" Steve glanced around at the tower's rather Spartan interior. "We have a radio." Damn, it was a long shot anyway. Rodney remained at the edge of conversational range, keeping his back to a solid object at all times. "Still, maybe you could tell me if you've heard or seen anything out of the ordinary." "What, like..." Steve didn't actually say UFO, but Rodney guessed that the motion he was making with his hands was supposed to mimic a flying saucer. No, more like an actual airplane. What? Not one of ours, you mean? That would be out of the ordinary, wouldn't it? One of Steve's better qualities was that no matter how thickly Rodney piled on the sarcasm, the man never broke under the weight. I guess not. When? Rodney counted back the days until he first picked up Shepherd's signal. Last Thursday, give or take, or anything since then. An American rescue party would fly out of the American base, probably in Alaska, but if they were out there at all and sweeping an ever-widening area, Steve might have noticed something. Steve shook his shaggy head. Sorry, I don't. Wait, yes, Todd. You remember Todd, right? Tall guy, funny? You've only introduced me to him 3 times. He placed his supply order a couple of days ago, mentioned seeing a couple helicopters. Helicopters. Black helicopters. Shit. That's not, Rodney gulped, normal? What? Helicopters? A few solo jobs around. Don't usually see them in pairs. Must have been a training exercise or something. Yeah, or something, Rodney agreed weakly. Steve had that fragile expression Rodney's junior researchers used to wear between the time they turned in their report and the time he started delivering his verbal feedback. It inspired a pang of delicious nostalgia, but eventually he cut the poor bastard some slack. Thanks, that was helpful. Steve lit up like a 1,000-watt work light. Any time, Dr. McKay. It was my pleasure. Okay, that time he managed to work in some innuendo, which was Rodney's cue to get the hell out of here. He inched for the door. You've given me a lot to think about, so I better... Hey, how about tomorrow for that ride? Rodney tugged, then realized the door swung out, not in. Very busy tomorrow. We could stop and get a drink afterward. I don't drink. Okay, some other time then. Steve tailed him outside, but Rodney was faster. He waved goodbye out of the car window while Steve shrank in the rearview mirror. It wasn't that Steve was awful. He was almost attractive in a rugged sort of way when he kept his mouth closed. And not so long ago, in a moment of weakness, Rodney had nearly scrounged up something to use as a gag and said yes, because any change to his social life would have been an improvement. God, did Shepherd count? Sure, they hadn't met face to face. They never would. Sure, they'd only spoken a couple of times under less than optimal circumstances, but as a scientist, Rodney couldn't deny that they shared a... He chose the word connection, even though Roddick would have mocked him for it. But what the hell else did you call it when both parties understood the sarcasm and the irony and all the things left unsaid? Oh, they spoke the same protocol. That was a good one. He was going to have to remember it. Was it 8 o'clock yet? There was an email from Zelenka waiting for him at home. Congratulations. You're the first person I've known over the age of 6 to have an imaginary friend. P.S. I'll open the bottle, pour you a glass, and send it in the post. Let me know if it arrives okay. R. Rodney fired back. Imaginary or not, John's got a way bigger vocabulary than you. R. Following a late lunch, the couch and a nap were the sensible things to do, so Rodney grabbed his laptop and plopped down, Figuring one out of two wasn't bad. After all, he was in the middle of an investigation. Sadly, air traffic control data was sparse on the net. Some of the larger airports hosted their own live feeds, but there was little in the way of historical data, and nothing for the region of interest. Besides, even if he had located radar feeds for the days in question, scary black helicopter flying top-secret salvage missions would be equipped with radar jammers, or stealth technology, or whatever the hell they called it these days. It was impossible to determine if Shepard's rescue was actually out there, but he felt better knowing he tried. Next on the agenda, Shepard himself. Rodney had a first name now, and while that wasn't enough to significantly narrow down a search, what about a combination of John Shepard and United States Air Force? Shit. 82,000 hits. Just what in the... There's a Shepard Air Force Base? Rodney squawked out loud. That's so not fair. Rodney closed his laptop, set it down, and stretched out, lacing his hands over his stomach. Screw the investigation, because seriously, 82,000 hits. Not expecting to sleep, it came as a surprise when Shepard's shouting woke him almost an hour later.
McKay, you there?
The only reason he didn't roll off and land on the laptop was because he'd had some weirdly miraculous foresight to slide it beneath the couch. And God, his back. Coming, coming. He limped to the console and hit the mic button. It's 8 already? His voice was creaky with sleep. If I'm disturbing you, I can call back later. Shepard must have heard it too, because surely it took effort to sound so awake and chipper, and not at all like a man who hadn't had a hot shower in a week. Maybe he'd been busy getting rescued during Rodney's nap. He tested that theory. So, how are your friends, the trees?
Kinda shy, not great conversationalist.
Rodney sensed the silence, unlike you, because he and Shepard were on the same damn wavelength. Oh God, literally. Been the victim of any bear attacks lately?
For your information, it was a... I don't know what it was, but it was a lot smaller than a bear.
You probably shot it anyway, Rodney accused, trying to think of an excuse to slip away and relieve his bladder.
It didn't look like it would taste good,
Shepard mourned. Well, don't worry. It's like airline food, once you're hungry enough. Can you hang on a minute? That's my phone. Funny thing was, it really was his phone. Sort of. If Zelenka was trying to connect a call over the internet, he counted.
Sure. Take your time.
Rodney refused Zelenka's connection request, sprinted to the bathroom, and was back in his chair in what had to be a new world record, hand-washing included. Sorry, I'm back.
Hey.
Hi.
So?
Hmm? Wow, 0 to awkward in 2 seconds flat.
I can tell this is going nowhere good.
Shepard rescued them.
How about we get the painful stuff out of the way and see what happens next?
Sounds like a plan. But what's the painful stuff? Was this where Shepard let slip that the government operatives would be breaking down Rodney's door any minute to confiscate his equipment and throw him in prison merely for talking to John?
Somewhere in all the excitement, we skipped formal introductions.
Oh.
My name's John Shepherd. I'm from Virginia. Career Air Force. But that might change on account of the crashing thing.
He aimed for a light tone, but Rodney could hear the bitterness. Poor bastard. His life and career were in jeopardy.
Anyway, I like college football, Ferris wheels, and anything that goes faster than 200 miles per hour.
Rodney hated to point out the obvious, but Ferris wheels don't go more than 200 miles per hour.
Neither does a football, typically.
So?
Let's just say a Venn diagram of my likes wouldn't have a lot of intersections, and leave it at that. What about you?
I'm Rodney McKay. Dr. Rodney McKay. I'm Canadian, and I like cats. Well, not all cats. Very few cats are actually tolerable to live with. Mine happens to be one of them. When the intervening pause grew uncomfortable, Shepherd prompted,
"Go on."
"That's it."
"You're not done. I said three things, so now you have to say three things."
"Oh." Rodney fidgeted. Honestly, there aren't a lot of things I like."
"Surely you can come up with three."
Forget fidgeting. Rodney was all the way to squirming. Three was easy, until he removed all variants of naked and men from his pool of possible answers.
"Okay, how about three things in general? You know, about yourself."
"Can the cat thing count as one of them?" he nearly begged.
"Yes, liking cats can count."
"Well, I'm deathly allergic to citrus. Oh, and I'm going to win the Nobel Prize someday."
"See? That wasn't so hard, was it?"
Shepherd's praise was like a verbal pat on the back, warm and tempting. "You're right, it wasn't." He had to smile. He couldn't help it.
"Quick, favorite sports team."
"What? I don't..."
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Time's up. You lose. I gotta ask another one. Favorite Beatle?"
Rodney blurted. "John, shit, wait."
"Interesting,"
Shepherd mused.
"I peg you as the Paul type. Your turn."
Huh. This was kind of fun, in a nerve-wracking way. "Favorite movie?" Rodney challenged. "And if you're considering Top Gun, let me warn you that I'll preemptively lose any respect I could ever possibly develop for you."
"Terminator,"
Shepherd shot back. And Rodney had to admit it was an acceptable response.
"Ginger or Marianne?"
"I refuse to answer that on grounds that I would be dating myself just as badly as you just did."
"How do you know I'm not some fresh-faced kid with a taste for old, bad television?"
Well, for starters, Shepherd's pose in his current predicament suggested nothing but maturity. Then there was the thing he'd crashed. Shepherd was so secretive about it that it had to be experimental or classified. Such an aircraft would only be entrusted to an experienced pilot. But mostly, there was his voice, mock lazy and armored with confidence. Not that Rodney cared to repeat any of that aloud. So, dignity intact, he conceded, "Marianne."
"Yeah, me too,"
Shepherd agreed.
"And don't worry about dating yourself. I know how old you are."
"You do?"
"You told me."
"I did." Something else occurred to him. "You remembered!" Shepard just grunted, reminding Rodney it was his turn. Oh, right. Caltech or MIT?
Neither. Georgia Tech.
Huh. Option C indicated an actual opinion on the subject. Shepard wasn't just selecting at random to pretend he had a clue. Yes, well, I suppose their engineering department has a decent reputation, and they do have an aerospace program. He wondered if he luckily stumbled upon Shepard's alma mater. Locating information on Shepard, former student, would be a hell of a lot easier than locating John Shepard, pilot. When it hit him, and he groaned.
They also have a decent football team,
Shepard said, and Rodney could literally hear the shit-eating grin in the words. Okay, I get it. No more dumb questions.
Superman, Spider-Man, or Batman?
What? Oh, that's just intentional. Rodney spat, because hell, since when were Air Force guys allowed access to the geek handbook?
5, 4.
Wait, I need to know what criteria we're using. Superman had the whole invulnerable thing going, unless his enemy happened to come at him with a rock.
Spider-Man got the girl.
Batman had a childhood tragedy that drove him to become a dark vigilante.
With the coolest toys.
And the really gay sidekick, Rodney thought. So yeah. No contest. Left or right-handed?
Right. Fries or onion rings?
Rings. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Shepard moaned.
God, no more food ones, okay?
You started it, Rodney was required to point out. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Figured.
Fast or slow?
And whoa, Rodney was reading way too much into that. He had to be. Worse, he already knew Shepard liked speed, so his answer somehow mattered more. Or it would if this was some bizarre compatibility test, and not a stupid game to pass time and stave off boredom. Methodical, he decided in the end, and it took a lengthening pause to remind him that it was his turn. Harrison Ford or Sean Connery? Shepard sputtered. Translation. Direct hit.
Damn it! That question should be illegal.
Han Solo was a pilot, and he got the girl.
James Bond had the coolest toys. And got every girl.
That's probably not all he got. Can you imagine how many diseases he picked up sleeping his way across Eastern Europe?
Way to ruin my childhood,
Shepard complained. You know, I can hear you snickering, so don't even pretend you're not entertaining the notion that James Bond was a disease-ridden man-whore.
I bet Han Solo smelled like a Wookiee. Like, permanently. No amount of bathing could get rid of the stench.
Oh my god. Rodney wailed. Now who's ruining whose childhood?
It's your fault for asking an illegal question.
I didn't realize this game had rules. Shepard explained patiently.
All games have rules, Rodney. Otherwise, how would you know who won?
There was a new inflection on Rodney every time Shepard said it, as if his mouth was growing comfortable with an unfamiliar combination of sounds. This time, the vowels were teased, and the end softened. Not that Rodney noticed, hell no, on a scale of folly to catastrophe, noticing would have rated a solid disaster. Noticing would have sparked the urge to catalog all the ways John Shepard could mangle two little syllables, though the last time he'd almost succeeded in dragging it out to three. And Rodney absolutely wasn't estimating how much sample data he would need to collect before this theoretical catalog would be considered complete, because, yeah, disaster. You seriously expect me to believe you've been keeping score?
Just for that, I won't tell you who's in the lead.
Please, that would only work on me if I was burdened with an extremely competitive personality. Besides, you could say anything you wanted, and I wouldn't be able to contradict you, because you've just been making shit up.
So now, you're being a sore loser about it?
Rodney huffed. Who said I was losing?
Actually, you're winning.
Shepherd caved. I am? I mean, of course I am.
But it's my turn. If you were stranded on a desert island and could only bring one item with you, what would you bring?
Damn it, that was a good one. Naturally, the poor schmuck stuck in the middle of the woods would think of it first. I need some parameters. Are we talking one item in addition to the clothing on my back?
Yes, Rodney.
Two syllables, clipped, tinged with too much amusement.
One item, not counting the clothes on your back.
Is there any possibility of rescue from this hypothetical island? I'm not going to bring a radio if you're going to turn around and tell me the battery's dead, or that salt water fried the circuits, because then I'd be stuck with a broken radio and no form of entertainment, and that would just be...
How?
Shepherd supplied. Your radio works, and I must be entertaining you, or you wouldn't still be talking to me.
Well, desperation does tend to lower my standards.
Hey, I don't have to stay up all night with you. I have a big, cozy bed waiting for me in the other room.
It is getting late. You should sleep if you're tired. Don't keep that big, cozy bed waiting on my account.
And whoa, that was wrong. For the touch of honest concern, if nothing else, Rodney was pretty sure it was the job of the guy who was warm and safe and comfortable to worry about the guy who was alone and cold and miserable, not the other way around. Like hell I'm giving up. I'm just about to hit my second win. I scoff at stable sleeping patterns. My best work has always been accomplished between midnight and 4 a.m. No joke.
I just...
Shepherd hesitated.
I don't want you to feel obligated to keep me company. You've done so much already.
I've... What? Rodney's voice lifted sharply at the end, but he gulped some air and pushed on. I've held a lot of conversations with a lot of idiots, but that has to be the biggest line of bullshit anyone's ever tried to feed me. I could do something useful if you'd let me. It's been over a week, Shepherd. You and I both know damn well that the Air Force has the resources and manpower and technology to find a needle in a haystack. If they haven't found you by now, chances are they never will. And I'm not talking about a hunch. I'm talking statistics. I'll run the numbers if you want, but don't you dare hang up on me until you hear me out. The silence held just long enough for Rodney to fear that Shepherd had cut the connection mid-outburst, which would have served him right. Railing at Shepherd was petty, no matter how satisfying. Rodney held his breath and waited. Shepherd gave himself away with a sigh.
It's not that simple. God, I wish it was.
Why not? Rodney pressed.
Because it isn't.
Do you want me to explain why that is a completely inadequate answer, or would you rather just try again?
That's enough, Rodney.
It was a request, as if Shepherd knew the impending argument was unavoidable but had to try anyway.
I get that you're worried. I get that. I'm pretty damn scared myself.
Rodney wanted to tear his hair out in frustration. You need help. I can help you. What the hell is the problem? Unless... Oh, you don't think I can.
I know you don't understand what's at stake.
It was a statement, not a challenge. You mean other than your life? Because I can't think of anything more important, and that includes your career, your big military secrets, and the millions of dollars of government property you turned into wreckage. It was meant to hurt. Shepard needed a jolt, but he was maddeningly calm as ever when he repeated,
Like I said, you don't understand.
I'm a genius. I would understand if I had all the information.
Probably, if I could give it to you.
Then we'll do things your way. You come up with a plan, tell me what you need me to do, and I'll do it. I won't even argue or ask troublesome questions. Just do something besides sit on your ass and wait for rescue that isn't coming. Please.
You won't call me an idiot again?
Shepard asked. Yes. Finally, his confidence was faltering. Not even if your plan sucks, Rodney swore.
I'll think about it. A plan, I mean. None of the stuff I've tried before did any good, but you've put some new resources at my disposal, and...
The noise he made was too raw to pass for laughter.
I might get out of here after all.
Do you want me to,
Get some sleep, McKay. I've got a lot to consider, and you'll only distract me. Besides, I'm going to need you fresh and rested tomorrow.
So you're...
Good.
He promised.
Or I will be.
Good, good. That's... God, a relief.
Oh, and Rodney?
Don't. Because he already knew what Shepard was going to say, and Rodney never knew how to respond to that without resorting to sentimental drivel. It was best to forego the whole song and dance. I haven't done anything yet, but when I do, we can just say you owe me one, and don't worry. I intend to collect someday. That work for you?
Yeah.
Shepard said, bewildered.